psalmist, as we've just sang, complains to the Lord that tears flow from his eyes because the statutes of the Lord are not obeyed. And we see that that's much the same complaint that David has here in Psalm 12. Our sermon text for this morning, Psalm 12. Let's hear God's word as we find it here in Psalm 12. To the chief musician on an eight-stringed instrument, eight-stringed harp, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. Now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. One of the most remarkable aspects of Scripture is how, even though it was written thousands of years ago, can still perfectly describe troubles that we encounter in everyday life. It, with 100% accuracy, describes the human condition. This is no less true of our sermon text this morning. Might be tempted to think we are living in a peculiar time in history. Might be tempted to think that society is far more wicked than it has ever been. They might point out the hundreds of false narratives that people believe. We may even in our hearts long for the good old days of prior years. Yet the day and age we live in is not that distinct from the days that David describes in Psalm 12. David cries out, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. For the faithful disappear among the sons of men. They speak idly, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak." Do we not live in similar times? Does it not seem to us that the godly man has ceased to exist? Does it not seem as though there are no more faithful people? Amid such a time as this, we can ask the question, who can I trust? What can I believe? What can I trust? And I submit to you that there is only one to trust in such a time. It's not your local politician. It's not your state governor. It's not your favorite celebrity or your favorite conservative commentator. Not even your pastor or your elders. The one to trust in this world is the Lord Himself and the word He has given us. This is the one David turned to, surrounded by liars. David tells us in verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, tried like silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. Every single day we are surrounded by fallible men and women. Some are maliciously fallible, to the point of lying for personal gain. Others are more passively fallible, yet still responsible for that fallibility because they have been deceived and perpetuate that deception to others. Yet the one who reads Scripture can be comforted that the words that they read there are infallible. These are not deceiving words. These are not lies. But the words of the Lord are pure words. And you can be absolutely certain that the words of Scripture are perfect because they come from a perfect God. They have been breathed out by one who is righteous and holy. And Paul declares in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of a perfect and holy God. So what we read here in our Bibles, we can take comfort and hope from. We can build upon this as a foundation. And so as the rest of society asks the question, who can we believe? Let us boldly believe God's Word. And as we consider God's Word and its characteristics, let us see how it accurately describes the human condition. David concludes Psalm 12 with a memorable proverb. He says, "The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men." When men praise wickedness instead of righteousness, the wicked take over the land. And is this not the case today? There are many falsehoods that are propagated. Abortion is declared to be a human right. Transgenderism is lauded as a morally upright expression of gender. Sexual promiscuity is praised to the point that the higher your body count is, the more you are a successful, liberated person. The gospel of Jesus Christ is mocked as an antiquated faith that has no relevance for modern men and women. Christianity is decried as the religion of grandparents, while the current generation pursues a new and enlightened spiritualism. God's Word tells us that all this is vileness. Vileness is being exalted in our society. Abortion, far from a human right, is a horrendous murder of the unborn and precious defenseless lives. Abortion is the genocide of the West, yet how it is praised among society's elite. Celebrities and politicians revel in the twisted power this gives them over their bodies, or what they think are their bodies. They revel in the choice to end another human life. Transgenderism is a perverse lie that mangles body and mind. It is a lie that destroys the preciousness of the human body and sexuality. It is a lie that brings no comfort, but only delusion, shame, depression, and guilt. How transgenderism is exalted, even to the point where it has become a social contagion. Sexual promiscuity, far from liberty, is bondage. The hookup culture has created a host of lonely people who have reduced intimacy simply to a physical act. They have no lasting connection to others and have shut down all aspects of an emotional relationship. It is fundamentally against nature, yet how influencers praise such a life. They proclaim it to be a fulfilled and happy life. As we see this, we look at Psalm 12, verse 8, and see the truthfulness of those words. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. The wicked praise wickedness. Vileness is exalted. And so wickedness is everywhere. We live in a political climate where the joke is the only time a politician tells the truth is when he says to another one, "You're a liar." Politicians support whatever gets them reelected instead of standing for truth and morality, not to mention the thousands of people who have lost confidence in the election system. Politicians speak with flattering lips and a double heart. And there's our judicial system. There's a continual stream of videos of corrupt police officers. Judges and juries show niceness and love instead of true justice. So murderers and rapists are allowed to go and live among ordinary citizens. And those in power say, "With our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? I alone am Lord. I alone am answerable. I'm answerable only to myself." But these forget that they all must answer to the Lord. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted. And there's the horrible corruption that is in the church world today. Church abounds with false pastors, men who claim to be servants of God, but instead are vicious wolves who devour the flock of God through both spiritual and sexual abuse. And there's still other false pastors who proclaim a false gospel by manipulating and twisting Scripture to support their own personal beliefs and traditions of men. The entire Roman Catholic Church proclaims a false gospel of salvation by works, whereby they have to continually re-crucify Christ in the Mass. There are so many churches that lull those inside of them to sleep, to a comfortable religious sleep. They preach no gospel there. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted. And such evil occurs even in our more private relationships. Spouses manipulate one another with words and emotions, either our husband or wife vying for power over the other, or in worse cases, one spouse abusing another through words and actions. And even in the church where love is to abound, church members gossip, backbite, and slander one another. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted. Scripture does not just accurately describe the human condition. It does not just accurately describe a society that has forsaken God and forsaken the foundation of God's Word. But it also does so convictively. We find in Psalm 12 a convicting description of a human condition. It says, "Each one of us contributes to this bleak picture, even those who profess faith." What does David declare? "But help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak." David makes the observation that the faithful disappear and are altogether indistinguishable from the ungodly because of the words that they come out of their lips. The godly man has ceased. The faithful has disappeared among the sons of men. And the question is, why? Why? Because they speak idly. Their speech is worthless. It is not worth the breath that was necessary to produce the words they have spoken. You could put it in the words of Matthew 5:13, that their speech has lost its savior and is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. There is a famine of words that are true and right in the lands. It must be because the faithful no longer speak right. Their voice has either been silenced or they have lost all zeal for the truth. How many of us fail to use our words to the glory of God? James speaks rightly when he says, "With our tongues we both bless God and curse our neighbor." How many times a day is it true of us that our speech patterns fall into the sinful patterns of the world? Tell our friends, did you hear what happened? Did you hear what that person did? Or we ask, do you know what's going on with my friend? What juicy tidbits can you tell me about what's going on with that individual? Children, do you find yourself saying cruel words to your brothers and sisters? Maybe mocking them for how God created them or calling them cruel names. Husbands, how do you speak about your wife to others? How do you speak about her directly? Do you speak with the voice of Christ's love, or do you speak with the voice of domineering power? And wives, how do you speak of your husband to others? Do you complain about him and all his faults to your friends, or do you build him up and protect his good name? Truly, the faithful disappear among the sons of men. They speak idly, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. We tell people things that are not true about themselves so that we can earn them as our friends. We speak with a double heart, praising people in one moment when we're with them and cursing them, or slandering their name in another moment when we're with another person. This is the source of David's great discouragement in this psalm. And perhaps is your discouragement as well, even among those who profess faith in God. You find liars and deceivers, those who you would expect to be truth bearers, you find to be false witnesses. David says, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappears among the sons of men. David feels as though he's standing all alone. Everyone has this problem. No one's using their tongues rightly. And so David cries out to God, help, Lord. And what else can we say in our fallen condition but help, Lord? We can't go anywhere else. We can't go to man for help. Man is a deceiver. Man is a liar. Man is faced with the same dilemma that we are. We are sinful and corruptly use our tongues. What hope is there except for us to cry out, help, Lord? And so we see that the words of the Lord are convicting words. They're living words that attack and convict our consciences. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Psalm 12 pierces the thoughts and intents of our hearts. It sharply dissects our actions and finds us guilty. And amid this vileness, it is understandable, but altogether foolish, that you find those who have become completely cynical, who don't trust anybody but themselves. When my high school friends apostatized from the faith and would ask me, how can I possibly know what God's word is saying? Or if it's even true what it's saying, because everybody seems to have a different belief regarding God's word. How can I know what this word is saying? He had become completely cynical about Christianity. He said, I can't trust anybody, and I can't even trust the Bible. We too may ask ourselves on a whole host of issues, who can I trust? Who can I believe? Because everywhere we look, we're encountering liars and deceivers. I say it's foolish to only trust ourselves, because we ourselves have that same fallibility. We ourselves are liars and deceivers. We have the same problem as everyone else. The only hope we can have is from God. Our help must come from God. And praise be to God that the fundamental comfort that David draws our attention to in this psalm is the purity of God's word. While every single man lies, the Bible stands as a bastion of truth, clarity, and purity. Notice the words in verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified 7 times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. In these verses, David sets up a great contrast. Up to now in Psalm 12, he's mentioned the corrupt words of man. Man speaks idly. Man speaks with flattery. Man speaks with a double heart. Man speaks proud things. Yet far removed from the words of man are the pure words of the Lord. His words are completely pure. There's not even a hint of impurity in them. And they are not ambiguous words. They're not two-faced. They are clear. We read God's word and can understand what it is saying. We do not have to doubt it. They're the very words of a perfect God. They are not lies. They are not legends. They are not quaint moral stories. They are the living words of the God who created the universe. They are the living words of the God who created you. You might ask, why should I believe that claim? Why should I believe this book is pure? First, apart from the grace of God working in your heart, you will not believe this book. Believing this book requires faith. Faith is not without reason. The Christian faith is an inherently rational faith, yet it is still faith. You must be born again to believe what this word is saying. Yet, it is faith. It was David's faith in the character of God that he declared the words of the Lord are pure words. David here builds upon a theme that has been repeated frequently in Scripture. The theme that God is perfect and cannot lie. The first one to actually make that statement in those terms, that God is not a man and cannot lie, was actually an unbeliever. It was the false prophet Balaam. Balaam was charged with cursing Israel by King Balak. And yet he could not possibly curse Israel because God was sovereign over the words that he was speaking. This man wanted to curse Israel, but he could not. And instead, he ended up saying, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Now, it's certainly one thing for an unbeliever. Sorry, it's certainly one thing for a believer to say that these words are pure words, that these words are true words. But it's an entirely other thing for an unbeliever to make that claim. And that's what we find with the story of Balaam. And this is a declaration to us that the Bible is not the words of men, but it is the words of God who spoke through men. This is a divinely inspired book. And Samuel said much the same thing when he told King Saul in 1 Samuel 15:29, the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent. For he is not a man that he should relent. And Samuel said this in the context of the Lord ripping the kingdom from Saul for his lack of obedience and killing the Amalekites. Saul disobeyed God, and God said, I will take that kingdom away from you, and I will give it to another. And Samuel says, you can know this is true because the strength of Israel will not lie. And what do we find but years later? The kingdom being taken from Saul and given to a lowly shepherd boy named David. You can be comforted with the purity of God's word. as you consider the thousands of fulfilled prophecies it has. The call to worship this morning said that the words of the Lord are proven words. They're not just bare conjecture. These are proven words. God's Word has thousands of fulfilled prophecies in it. Prophecies made hundreds and even thousands of years prior to their events were fulfilled. Jacob foretold that the Messiah would come from the tribe of Judah. Nathan foretold that the Messiah would be a son of David. Micah said that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah prophesied that he would be born of a virgin. Malachi declared that there would be a prophet who would come immediately before him. Zechariah prophesied that Jesus would enter Jerusalem riding on a donkey. David prophesied that this Messiah would have his hands and his feet pierced, that men would cast lots for his garments, that he would be forsaken by God. And what do we find in the gospel accounts except the fulfillment of every one of these prophecies and hundreds of others? And if those prophecies were fulfilled, what a measure of confidence and faith we can have in the promise we find in our text this morning. That promise we see in verse 5, for the oppression of the poor, the sighing of the needy. Now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The lack of integrity in the words of others disquiets us. We see those who flatter with their tongues, who speak with a double heart, and say idle words, and we are greatly concerned. We see the sinfulness of ourselves and our own moral poverty. We see the sinfulness of others around us, the false lies they promote, and we are greatly disturbed. We sigh with great need, yet the Lord promises, the Lord whose words are true declares, I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. We who long for safety from the onslaught of hateful and hurtful words the Lord promises to protect. We who long for redemption from our cruel words, those words that we have said sinfully, who are in need of purity and integrity in our speech, the Lord promises to save. We find the words of this promise beautifully repeated throughout Scripture. We read in Proverbs 22, verse 22 through 23, do not rob the poor because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. The Lord will plead the cause of the poor. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 3, the blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. This is not an empty promise. This is not built on a wing and a prayer. This is a promise that is built upon the sure foundation of God's perfect, infallible character, built on God's holiness and righteousness. God will arise for the oppression of the poor and for the sighing of the needy. And you can know the certainty of these words because of the continued existence of the people of God. As David is looking in Psalm 12, he feels as though, anyways, he is the only one left. It says, the godly man has ceased, and the faithful disappear among the sons of men. Seeming as though the word of God has no effect. And David, who knew the promise that God made to Abraham, that his seed would be as vast as the stars of the sky and as the sand of the seashore, David must be wondering, is God's word true? I know those promises. Is God's word true? The faithful have disappeared. Yet David says in verse 7 of Psalm 12, you shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. By them I submit to you that David is talking about the poor and the needy. He's talking about those who fear and trust in him. God keeps his people from the wicked generations of men, from the attacks of wicked words. God preserves his people from false tongues and lying lips. Wicked men may attack God, God's people, and God's word. They may do so with vitriol and cunning. They may attack by promoting godless agendas and pagan morality. But it is all powerless against the might and purpose of God. Remember what David said in Psalm 2. The Lord sits in the heavens and he laughs. The Lord holds the wicked in their outrageous attempts to subdue his kingdom. He holds them in derision. The wicked plot and scheme to overthrow the Lord's anointed, but the Lord laughs at such attempts. The Lord laughs at those who attack him and his people. Their schemes amount to nothing, for the Lord's word is pure. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The Lord will keep his poor and needy saints. He will keep them from this sinful generation. He who has promised to save the needy will indeed do so. Our cries for God to arise do not fall on deaf ears. And I find it striking that in Psalm 9, verse 19, David cried out, "Arise, O Lord. Do not let men prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight." And we find that similarly repeated in Psalm 10, verse 12. "Arise, Lord. O God, lift up your hands. Do not forget the humble." The Lord does not directly answer those cries until we get to Psalm 12. Though we may cry out for many days, though we may fear for years that the Lord is not arising, yet he ultimately does. Though it seems like the faithful cease from among the children of men for decades and for centuries, the Lord preserves a remnant who fear him. And this is because God is faithful to his word. This is a declaration to us that God's word is pure and perfect. His promises are indeed sure. Man may strive to destroy the gospel by attempting to make it irrelevant, something of the past. Yet God's word stands forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. We may fear our sin and lack of faith may undo the promise that God will save the needy. Yet God's word abides forever. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. There are many today who are greatly concerned about words. Liberals have made a whole agenda revolving around words and being politically correct. Social conservatives are especially concerned about the freedom of words and the need to maintain the freedom of speech. Elon Musk tweeted on Monday, "This is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead." Yet Elon Musk is fundamentally mistaken when he says, if free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead. Tyranny is not all that lies ahead if free speech is lost. Amid all the tyranny of world history, amid the persecution of God's people, amid the wickedness of corrupt men, amid wicked speech, God's people have been preserved and the gospel has gone out. And this is because God's word is true. His promises are faithful and sure. They are yes and amen. As you read God's Word, each of you in your particular circumstances and situations of life, as God's Word speaks to you in your daily devotions, you can know that that Word is indeed true. It comes from the perfect God who created you. Paul declares in 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen." So in conclusion, if you doubt the promises and purity of God's Word, what Paul is saying is, look to Jesus Christ. Paul says that in Christ, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Fulfillment of God's Word is found in our Savior. Jesus Christ came and died for the sins of His people. He came to purchase the promises that we find contained in this Word. The promises of everlasting life. The promises of knowing the love and the peace of God. There's no taking back the salvation that God has given. Christ has come, and He will indeed save everyone for whom He shed His precious blood. Peter says the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so who can you trust? Who can you trust amid this world of lies and deceit? You can trust God and His Word. And may His Word ever be your faithful guide in this life. Let us pray. Lord, we once again come before You, thanking You for Your Word. The comfort it is to us in the dark night of the soul, for the balm it is in the trials of life, for the light it is as we walk in the midst of the darkness of this earth. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. And we pray, O Lord, that we would ever cling tightly to it, ever knowing that it is a pure and perfect Word, ever trusting in You. We pray in Your Son's name. Amen.